There are unknown creatures lurking all over the world in the nooks and crannies that we can't see. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another video. Today we're going to be sharing some allegedly true and downright creepy creature sightings sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story that you would like to share, whether it be a creature sighting or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help this channel keep going. Now, without further ado, sit back, relax, and get ready for some creepy and unexplainable cryptid sightings. I worked at Glenwood Ranger District in southwest New Mexico as part of a fire suppression crew during the summer of 1996. This might not be as scary as other stories, but it has stayed on my mind all these years because since that time, I have heard of similar occurrences, especially when it comes to the smell described during close encounters with Bigfoot. To this day, I'm still unsure of what it was that I saw, but it had me awake for a good hour or more later that night. I was the only person an employee in the 3-bedroom house in this small district. There was only one other family living about 75 yards away while the main office was closed during the night and weekends. Our employee bunkhouse was located on the side of a hill in a valley between mountains covered with pinyon juniper on the lower elevations and pine higher up. It was not a pitch dark night by any means, and the moon would give light through patches of fast-moving clouds. I remember gusts of wind coming from all directions. This valley seemed to always have this problem, though, so I didn't think too much of it. Glenwood is in a remote area with a small population of ranchers and forestry workers. I was the only person in the house as it was a weekend and other employees were either off for the weekend or still out working in the mountain camps. My bed was located directly next to the window, and it was open, with only a screen between me and the cool breeze outside. I was awakened by a strong smell at about 2 or 3 in the morning. I can only describe the stench as something a person may smell when walking by a dumpster near a cafeteria or a restaurant. The smell was of rotten food, mixed with blood or something of that nature. The smell was so bad it woke me up out of a deep sleep. I peered out into the night while I stayed in my bed. The window ledge was only 3 inches from the floor. I couldn't see anything, but the terrible smell and strange feeling had me curious. The dogs from the only house nearby were barking viciously from time to time. I did not want to turn on any lights, as I think this would only make me be seen. I had no weapon except from a large hunting knife I took out of the sheath and carried at the ready as I crept from my room to each window in the entire house. I slowly moved the curtains and stared intently until I was satisfied that there was no movement. I came back to my room and rested on the ledge of the window, with the knife still in my hand until I drifted off to sleep. I found myself still positioned this way when dawn arrived. I was visited by something or someone that night. I was never awakened before by such a terrible smell and the sense of a presence. In the morning, that awful smell was gone completely. To this day, I cannot remember why I did not check for tracks. I have heard that bears can smell bad as well when in close contact, but I have run into bears multiple times while working in the mountains before and never experienced anything like that smell. Was it Bigfoot? Was it a bear or some other animal? I will never know, but thank you for letting me share this story. The legend of the Goat Man began when strange reports started appearing in the local Maryland newspaper. They told frightening tales about sightings of creepy-looking beasts that were roaming the woods of Prince George's County. They said he appeared on quiet roads at night, clutching a shiny axe in his hands that he used to attack unsuspecting teenagers. There was a lover's lane in the area, and teens who parked their cars in it claimed that they were attacked by a terrible creature that was brandishing an axe. They said the monstrous beast hacked at their cars, smashing the windows and taillights. They managed to get away and escape with their lives. Several residents claimed to have spotted a creature with the body of a man and the legs of a goat. They said it had coarse hair all over its body, and a goat's head with long, twisted horns and red, beady eyes. It was described as a half-man, half-goat hybrid, and was running across driveways and through backyards, scaring people. A group of local men banded together and grabbed their shotguns to hunt it down. After searching for days, they did not find any trace of the mysterious creature, and their hunt was abandoned. As rumors about the Goatman spread, teenagers from all over the region would spend their weekend nights driving through the dark county roads at night, hoping to catch a glimpse of the beast. Many parents would call their children into the house after sunset, fearful that the Goatman would get them. Two teenagers went out looking for their pet dog one autumn morning. The German Shepherd had escaped from its pen the night before. As they searched by the railway tracks, they spotted something in the long grass. It was the severed head of their beloved family dog. Even worse, they never found the dog's body. One summer evening, a young couple were out driving in the area when their car had broken down. The boy walked off to get help, leaving his girlfriend alone in the car. She spent the night waiting for him, but he never returned. The next morning, police found his remains half buried by the side of the road. He had been chopped up into little pieces. Two police officers were patrolling the area on horseback on a cold and foggy night. They became separated in the darkness. One of the policemen rode his horse back to the missing cop. After a few hours, something was spotted off to the side of an overgrown path. It was the mutilated corpse of a horse. The head and legs had been torn off and the entrails had been pulled out. The missing policeman was never found. Then, the Goatman attacked 14 people, killing 5 of them. One summer, two school teachers brought 12 children from their class on a hiking trip to the woods. Apparently, they stayed too close to the Goatman's lair. The survivors claimed that the creature suddenly appeared and violently hacked some of the children to death with an axe, while uttering horrible screams. When the police arrived on the scene, all that was left was the carnage and half-eaten limbs and a bloody trail leading to an empty cave. According to the legend, the Goatman was created by a mad scientist who lived in the area. They say a man named Dr. Stephen Fletcher was working at an agricultural research facility nearby, studying animals. Over time, the scientist slowly went crazy and began conducting strange and illegal experiments on the goats he was supposed to study. The scientist somehow gained access to a local insane asylum and began taking blood samples from mental patients. They say he crossed human DNA with goat DNA in a crazed attempt to create some sort of human-goat hybrid. The experiments went horribly wrong when one of the mutant creatures he ended up giving birth to escaped and ran screaming into the woods. The Goatman was on the loose. Now they say the terrifying creature is still out there, roaming the forest, hiding in the trees and sleeping in caves, appearing every now and then to attack some cars with an axe, beheading a stray dog, or murder an unwary teenager. If you are in a car, the evil creature will chop your tires so you cannot get away. Then, he will hack you up into little pieces and drag your body deep into the forest, where he can consume your flesh and bones at his leisure. Maybe the legend of the Goatman is true, or perhaps it's just a scary story made up to scare away young people. But if you want my advice, if you park your car in an isolated place, lock your doors and be on the lookout for anything strange happening around you. If you don't pay attention, you might end up being the Goatman's next victim. I'm going to try to make this as short as possible, because this was a long trip. I do not know if it's necessary to go into too much detail about the whole trip itself, so I'm just going to give a little backstory and really go into the detail with the meat of the story. My best friend and I were around 9 years old at the time this story takes place. One day she calls me and asks if I want to go inner tubing with her and her mom. It was not actual inner tubing. Her mom went to the store and bought us some floaties and dropped us off at a national park about 10 minutes away from where we live. Yes, you read that right. Her mom dropped 2 9-year-old girls off at a national park in the middle of the woods. Turns out, my friend only said her mom was coming so my parents would let me go. Anyways, the plan was to inner tube down this river, which led into town, then walk to her dad's house and call her mom to pick us up. The trip goes alright. Some parts of the river were too shallow, so we had to stand and walk through the water, holding our inner tubes until we got to a deep enough spot to float again. It was super fun and relaxing being all alone in the wilderness, just enjoying each other and the water. The only part that freaked me out at this point was the fact that there were no trespassing signs posted on a few trees on our way down the river. The river we were on was close to the road and led to the national park. That was to our left. To the right was a wilderness that stretched on for miles and miles. We get to a point that was deeper than the rest. I would say probably about 10 feet. We were laughing and joking when suddenly we hear rustling to our right. We could not see much. The bank was overgrown with ferns or some other type of foliage that grew much taller than either of us were, even taller than the height of a full-grown man. All the blood drains in my face, and we are both paralyzed in fear as we watch a tall human-like figure on 2 feet, holding its arms out much like a raptor does. It passes through the foliage. We could not see it, just the shadow of it. Of course, I am on the side closer to whatever the freak this thing is. 2 thoughts went through my head as this was happening, but I did not dare to make a sound. It was a person. I thought about the no trespassing signs, and I was terrified that I was going to have to sit here and beg for my life from some crazy freaking outback hillbilly hunter or something. That is when I noticed I could see the outline of fur all over the body. My next thought, a bear. This scared me even more, because animals like this have no sense of wrong or right. At least if it were a person, I would have the chance to beg for my life, and possibly be successful in doing so. A bear would just rip us both apart, and would not see anything wrong with it. We would be just lunch. A few minutes pass, still complete silence. I look over to my friend on edge, and uneasy, but I manage to whisper and ask her if she wants to get out of the water and walk the rest of the way. She of course replies yes. We paddle ourselves through the water with our arms until we make it to the bank towards the road. It was about a 5 to 10 minute walk up this steep hill, but oh well. It was better than staying down there and, you know, seeing whatever that thing was. We walked until eventually her mom pulls up and says that she had the feeling to come pick us up, because we had not called yet. It was not until after that we realized this was not a person. It was covered in fur. I do not really think it was a bear either. It walked on 2 legs perfectly, and even ran. By the way, we ended up doing this in the same area twice after this. Once a few months after this happened. However, we never saw this thing again. Back in the mid-1990s, Puerto Rico had a problem with farm animals found either dead or missing from the hands of what we believe was what we call the chupacabra. It means goat sucker in Spanish. But before I get into my story, here is some context to understand what this creature is. It has been spotted in other regions of Latin America as well as the southern United States throughout the years. People in the U.S. simply describe it as a wild canine with mange and long fangs, while the Latin Americans see it much differently. They see it more alien-like. But one thing is similar between these different versions. They love to feast on farm animals ranging from chickens, sheep, and goats, but leave almost no blood trails or any kind of evidence, hence its literal English name, goat sucker. And unfortunately, some of my animals from my old farm, just outside of San Juan, fell victim to this creature over 20 years ago. Here is how it unfolded. I had just finished feeding my animals, which were just 5 chickens. It was dusk by this time, and I had myself a late dinner since I did not get home from work until late that day. I fed my chickens the moment I got home. I finished my meal and went to my sink to wash my plate off, when I heard a light window tap from the other side of my house where my back deck is. At first I thought it was just a large bug slamming into the window, so I carried on with what I was doing. About a minute later though, I heard it again. This time in bursts rather than a single tap. I knew now it was not a bug. It sounded way too fast. I thought of varmint, but why would they be tapping? I don't get it. This tapping sounded very human. So I was a little on edge now. I made my way to the glass door, which had blinds on it covering the door. I opened them as well as turned on my outdoor light. And what I saw was not what I was expecting at all. It was this thing, standing on 2 legs which looked like the hind legs of a dog, and it looked to be no more than 5 feet tall. It did, however, have a defined muscular body with smooth, hairless gray skin. But that was not the scary parts of it. It had big blood-red eyes and sharp claws, which looked like pocket knives. It had a gaping mouth, with needle-like fangs like a vampire and large spines running down its back. I jumped back and fell to the floor out of fright. The creature leaped over my porch railing out of sight, but before I could recollect on what I just witnessed, I heard my chickens clucking like crazy as if something were attacking them. I picked myself up off the floor and grabbed my pistol to kill this creature as it was going to get to my chickens. I then ran outside to meet not the creature, but 2 of my chickens dead. I grabbed one of the dead birds and noticed 2 pebble-sized holes in its neck, as well as the second one. The strangest thing was that there was not a drop of blood anywhere. So it hit me. This thing sucked the blood from these chickens. It is as if it was a vampire. So with no blood trails to help me, I could only look for tracks, which I clearly found outside the chicken coop. They looked like raptor footprints almost, but a little human-like. I was honestly in shock after this. I gathered all my chickens, tucked them away safe. I followed the tracks for maybe 100 yards, pistol in hand, until I ran into my neighbor's fence, so I had to turn back home. I never actually took this to the authorities until more and more people had the same thing happen to them. It then soon became a big thing during this time. So I had to pretty much share my story to the investigators. And of course the investigation came up with nothing, meaning there was really no telling what was going on. But I knew what was going on. I witnessed it. I have since moved to the States, and I told the story there to my friends. Some of them still think I'm crazy, but I know what I saw. And who knows, maybe the chupacabra is still lurking somewhere in Puerto Rico, preying on more farm animals. I was in Afghanistan with the Marines over 7 years ago. I was on a platoon patrol base that was maybe 15 to 20 meters from the nearest compound. We began to get engaged just about 2 to 3 times a day there, and in order to allow the Marines time to sleep, we were sent 18 Afghan police personnel to stay on watch while we were getting a little sleep. The insurgents rarely hit us at night because we had MVGs and other technology that made fights at night not really worth it for the Taliban. So, it didn't matter how poorly trained the police were, because the minute we heard a shot, it would wake everyone up. Well, the Afghan police usually had the best hash ever. So one night I couldn't sleep, and decided to climb up on every post until I found somebody with hash. The first 2 posts were a bust, and the 3rd post was my next destination. As I came closer, I saw 3 dudes up in the bunker, which was abnormal, and they were pointing and whispering, shouting to another. Because all the HESCO barriers and PB, I couldn't see what they were pointing out, so I climbed up the ladder, and when I got up to the post, the commander, who was never awake at night, grabbed me by the shoulder and started pointing out among the buildings. It was at this point that I noticed that one of them was sobbing gently, almost like he was scared. I looked in the area the commander was pointing at, through my RCO, or ACOG if you were in the army, and did not really see anything until a tree moved. It took a second for me to really register what happened, and my mind couldn't really correlate what I saw, but the more I focused, the more I realized what I was seeing. What I thought was a large tree trunk, probably 20 to 25 feet high, crouched down and disappeared behind a set of compounds. I actually yelped when it fully disappeared, and what woke up our 0331 team, machine gunners in the Marines, who slept in a tent closest to the wall. I pretty much did not bother with the ladder and jumped off the post and started yelling to the MG team. I told them what I saw, and they all woke up and kicked the Afghans off the post and set up the 240. It hadn't stood back up yet for quite a minute, and I thought I had imagined it, or the stress of the deployment had me seeing messed up things. We were staring at the area I showed them so hard. I felt like my eyes were going to explode. And then, it stood up and began walking left to right, and its legs were so thin. One of the sergeants said it looked like a stick insect, but then everybody was awake on the patrol base, and unlike in horror movies, all but three people saw it. It kind of moved like stop motion. It gave most of us a headache, and our point man, who was literally made of stone, peed his pants. It finally got about 500 meters away before we lost sight of it. If I had to describe it, I would say it was at least 20 foot tall, had really long skinny legs and very long arms, but I could not see where they ended because of the compound walls. It was dark in overall complexion and seemed to almost be textured like tree bark. When we got home, my unit had a lot of suicides, 10 out of 33. And every time I talk to one of my buddies from my unit, the spindly horror is literally the first thing that's mentioned every time. To this day, I have no idea what it was, but it was not deployment stress because one, we all saw it, and two, it glowed when viewed under thermals. I try not to think about this too much, but honestly, it's a creepy thing, and it's a true story, brother. I am more of a man of science, so I do not really believe in the paranormal or supernatural, but the things that happened during the past few weeks are weird, and I cannot explain them. At night, around 9 p.m. to 5 a.m., strange sounds can be heard coming from outside my apartment, sounds that resemble cries. Those cries are not intimidating or anything that you would think. They actually sound sad. And when you accidentally step on a dog's tail, you know, something like that. That would seem pretty normal, as I'm living in an apartment complex full of pets, and I thought that maybe that's what was happening. Until a few nights ago. I couldn't sleep because I had a bad headache, so I went onto the balcony to get some fresh air and stayed there for around an hour, watching videos and reading some mangas. It was around 3 a.m. when I heard the usual cries. But the strange thing was, they did not seem to come from my complex. It was a little bit further, in a building that was under construction and abandoned. When I realized that, I got a bit freaked out, so I stared in the direction of the building. I couldn't see almost anything. I had been staring at my phone for the past hour, and my eyes weren't adjusted to the dark. So I simply let my eyes adjust. After a couple of minutes of staring, I started to see something clearly, but didn't notice anything strange just yet, until I saw some slow movement. Then I realized that blending in with the darkness inside the building was a very, and I mean very big figure. It was more than double my size and height. I'm pretty tall and chunky myself. I'm about 6'1", and this thing was much bigger than that. It was at least double my size, like I said. Maybe even taller. I started backing off because I was scared, but maybe because it heard my steps, the thing instantly turned its head and stared at me. It had excessively big eyes that were glowing white. Not even a second later, it emitted the cry and swiftly disappeared into the darkness of the building. Since then, I have seen this thing on multiple occasions, and I think that it's gotten bolder, because as I was opening the door, I saw the thing on the balcony, and as soon as it saw me, it jumped off and ran away. I do not know what this thing is. I live in Italy in the middle of a small city. There are not very many woods nearby, and there are no native animals that are that big. Any help in the comments would be very, very appreciated. I had a very scary experience with something that might have been a weird creature or cryptid. This happened very recently, I believe just about 3 days ago on the 1st of August. So I was at my girlfriend's house for the weekend, which I'm at her house pretty much every weekend, Friday through Sunday. So that in and of itself wasn't out of the usual. We both recently started college, so she still currently lives with both her mom and dad and two younger brothers. It was between 3:40 a.m. and 4:15 a.m. when the actual creepy stuff began. Everyone else in the house was asleep except for my girlfriend and me, since we always tend to stay up late playing video games or watching movies. We had just finished watching a movie, and we were getting ready to go to sleep. I was getting changed into shorts and a t-shirt to sleep in, and my girlfriend went to the kitchen to get us both a glass of water, since her room can get extremely hot and stuffy during the summer. So after getting changed, I was just chilling on the beanbag in her room, waiting for her to get back. At this point, I should explain the basic layout of where she lives, or this next part could get confusing. So her house is about 8 minutes out of the city limits, and she has a long driveway that goes from the road up a hill that leads to her house. Her house is surrounded by trees and dense forest, and her nearest neighbors are a good couple of minutes away. At the end of her driveway is a motion sensor, and when activated by movement, then makes 3 loud beeps inside the house. Her dad is a high-ranking military man, so he takes precautions and safety measures to ensure his family's safety. So like I said before, she was in the kitchen alone between 3 and 4 a.m., and I was still in her bedroom. Her kitchen is down the hallway and just through the living room from where her bedroom is, so she should have been back within just a minute or two. She was taking at least triple the usual amount of time, and right before I was going to head to the kitchen to check on her, she walked around the corner with a worried look on her face. She could be spooked easily, so I wasn't so alarmed at first. She handed me the water and then started explaining why she had taken so long. She pretty much said while she was at the kitchen sink filling up water, she heard a whining sound come from outside the 2 windows next to the sink. She figured it was one of her 2 dogs and decided to go to the garage to check on them. They were both curled up in the kennel when she opened the door, asleep, and had only just woken up by her turning the light on to check on them. She told me at that point she was confused and slightly uneasy. She walked back into the kitchen and heard this really deep, really weird bark coming again from somewhere outside the kitchen windows. And please note that it was 3 or 4 a.m., so it's nearly pitch black outside, especially since the dense trees around their home block out a lot of the moonlight, and light pollution really isn't much of a thing out here. She told me she could not see anything, and she hurried back to the room to tell me. I was slightly skeptical at first. I assumed it was just the fact that we have dogs and maybe she just misheard. Maybe she was tired and tripping out. So I agreed to follow her back to the kitchen. At first I heard nothing for a good 2 minutes, so I decided to try and recreate what she had done. I walked in, turned on the sink, and wait. 2 minutes go by, and I still hear nothing. Suddenly, I hear some freaky whining sound come from outside the windows. It sounded so much like a wounded animal. I had her turn the lights on in the garage again, which slightly lit up the area around the windows, but again, no sign of anything was there. She turns off the light and we hear whining and get further away, almost as if the creature had fled up the hill near the kitchen towards the forest. That was when we realized that it was scared or sensitive to the lights. So, We left the kitchen and went back to her room. At this point, I was spooked and I wanted to make sure that whatever it was had been scared off for good. So, we go back to the kitchen after a few minutes, both armed with decently sized knives that my girlfriend had in her room for protection. 5 minutes go by in the kitchen, and it's just silent. But then the whining starts up again, and a weird, sad barking sound begins, like something imitating an injured animal that was maybe 10 feet outside the kitchen window. At that moment, I realized something. There's no reason some creature would try to imitate an injured animal. There's just no way, unless it was trying to lure us out and cause us harm. So, getting kind of mad, I start yelling at it to go away. The sound goes silent and I hear a very slight movement outside the window, and then a weird sound, almost as if something was moving along the wall right under the window. Then whatever it was let out this disturbing and unnatural sound, almost like a loud groaning or growl. And let me tell you, my girlfriend and I looked at each other and just sprinted out of the kitchen without a single word. We hid in her room until we passed out sometime around 5 or 6 a.m. We had talked it over, listened to a ton of animal noises, and not anything ever came close to what we actually heard that night. I have no idea what happened and what this creature could be. It sounds a lot like things that I've heard in your stories. Do you guys have any ideas what this could be in the comments? Any help would be appreciated. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true creature sightings sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a sighting that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button as it helps me a ton in the YouTube algorithm. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. You can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about anywhere else you find your favorite podcast. If you want to support the channel outside of hitting that like button and subscribe button, check out our merch store. We have face masks, hoodies, t-shirts, mugs, and everything else you could want. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I have one last thing to request of you, if you don't mind. If you're a fan of metal, me and Unit 522 just put out our first metal album, and we would love for you guys to check it out and leave us some thoughts. There will be a link to do so in the top of the description, as well as a little bit of a video at the end of this, just to let you know what we're all about. Take care, guys, and I'll see you soon with another creepy video.